boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
Wink.
And I'm John O'Lobster. 20 years ago, American cinemas were rocked by one of the best overall years in movie history. Now, Legends Podcast is celebrating the Legends of 99 all year long. Troy Duffy's script for The Boondock Saints set off a bidding war with the ultimate price tag of $450,000. But a troubled production and studio unease following the Columbine school shooting led to the film's release in only 5 theaters for a mere 7 days, grossing only $30,000. However, the film found glory on home video, becoming a cult classic and earning a sequel a decade later. But does it deserve to be canonized along with the rest of the great films from the year of our Lord 1999? Or should you wish for pennies over your eyes whenever it comes on? Gentlemen, Legends of 99.
I think this is a perfect way to start off our sporadic rewatch of the classics or the quality movies from 1999.
I was about to say that we need to stop rewatching this movie because every time I'm seeing it, it gets less and less good. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It gets dated.
I think there's an argument that it didn't age as well as maybe we hope, but there's also definitely a nostalgia factor for this, and I think this is a good movie to kind of start with, and it's arguably not a 1999 movie. Technically, the U.S. release wasn't until like January of 2000, but because it got such a tiny, tiny release, I'm counting the world premiere, which I believe was in Denmark, as the official premiere of the film, just so we can talk about it. Because if you were anywhere around movies or people who watched movies from 1999 or 2000 to like 2004, 2005, someone you know showed you The Boondock Saints. I mean, you had the little quotey thing, the Saints Prayer, in your MySpace profile, I guarantee you. Like, this was just a fact of, it was like a viral hit, really.
Yeah, I could still go back to this all the time. I don't, but every couple few years, I think this it's a shiny penny. I do like it a lot. Oh God, it's not perfect, but it's a tale of brotherhood. It's a tale of, you know, these two guys. 90s. Yeah, I mean,
it's a tale of someone who watched some Tarantino movies, right, and thought, let's do this around the same time that Guy Ritchie is doing Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Let's do this.
The weird FBI, you know, the FBI guy that is totally gay, and I don't know, it's just out
the
there.
The best part
but
of the movie has always been William Dafoe's performance, because he's the only one that understands in which movie he is.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because he's going nuts with it.
Yep. And he's also like a year or two out from being the Green Goblin. So there's this like, it's like the sweet spot of his career where he's done a ton of character work, but he's not quite the guy that you're going to cast in your blockbuster movie. And he does this, and it's perfect.
I just keep coming back to how the McManus brothers are played, right? I don't know. They are, they're like the brother I've always wanted. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you envision a cool brotherly relationship is. And then you have a brother and it's like, oh man.
Basically like living in a dump, getting hit in the face by a chunk of meat.
That's great.
Walking up in the middle of church to like take your communions because you have to go to work or whatever.
See, I think that all that is quality if I were, you know, religious. But still, I don't know. I think it's the drinking. I think it's the Irish part that I like, to be honest.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I feel like this, we're a few months early, but or I guess about a month early from St. Patrick's Day. But that would have been good timing.
We could
for this
kill
as well.
Everybody. Rocco.
You guys should be in every major city.
Rocco blows the cat apart. I mean, these are all quality beats, and they just hang the poster up to cover the cat up.
You have a lot of nostalgia for that movie. I would say you have more than me, and probably that plays on this because, as I said, at the first time we rewatched it, I remember I had a great memory of it, and we rewatched it, and I was like, okay, that's kind of a good movie. Now I'm like, oh my god, this is so in its time. It was not trying to do anything then, kind of entertained by shocking you.
Yeah, way. Again, I feel like there's definitely the Tarantino. You know, we're going to use a lot of fake blood and gunshots and F-bombs because we can't afford a lot of major set pieces or, you know, special effects or all of this. So we're just going to give it to you in kind of an over-the-top, almost cartoonish fashion. But the way the fight scenes or the action scenes are constructed...
And the editing...
The editing, and you're getting the deconstruction of it by Willem Dafoe. Like, there was a firefight!
He's sitting in there and firing, and then he's firing his gun in the air. I mean, all the effects, there were no effects that were needed. It was just practical effects and squibs. This is like, man, I'm so disappointed right now. I don't know why. I thought I wasn't going to like this. I thought I was going to be beat down because we just watched it a couple years ago, and I haven't watched it since then, but I was just
grinning. It's a comic book origin. It's a comic book origin story, right?
It is.
That's
a great point.
It's literally you're telling the origin story of these Punisher-type characters who just you know, literally wake up one morning and decide that they're going to just start killing baddies because... A, they're good at it. B, they like it. And they don't have anything better going on. What are they going to do? Go back to the slaughterhouse and get punched by the lady?
Well, that's a nice perspective. If that's what you're into.
Yeah, that's true. Rule of thumb.
Well, you can't do much damage with that, could you? Should have been rule of wrist.
So
quotable. It's just perfect. It is. Man.
It is definitely quotable. Certainly, the monologue, or I guess not monologue, but dialogue at the end when they're kind of like setting up their credo, the saint's prayer that gets repeated. A lot of it, I think, is very quotable. And this film is kind of like an underground film, right? Like I said, it was buried at the box office, and... No one saw it. Like, no one knew it existed.
I don't even remember a trailer for this.
There wasn't anything. So what had happened was, the film was, the script of for the film was like a commodity. Like, it was on the unproduced movies list. It went around. All these big name producers were bidding for it. It ended up, Harvey Weinstein at Miramax got the rights to it. And decided to make it. And he, of course, did a bunch of shady deals. He bought, like, a part...
It's Miramax. Come on.
It's Miramax, right? He bought, like, a part ownership of Troy Duffy's bar. Like, all this crazy stuff. And Troy Duffy is an asshole, right? Like, there's a documentary called Overnight where you can kind of look and see who Troy Duffy is and kind of get the behind the scenes story of making the Boondock Saints. And there's all kind of problems behind the scenes. They run into all kind of production problems. They have a tiny, tiny budget. And their movie is entirely focused on gun violence, right? That's the bread and butter of the movie. And there's horrendous school shooting a month before the movie's supposed to come out. So the studio is very, very afraid of making a big deal about this movie. They don't want the backlash. So they basically, you know, kill it and release it in 5 theaters for a week and bury it. But
5 theaters.
They did invest some money in it. So they thought, you know what? Let's put it out on DVD, which was pretty new at that point. Let's do a DVD release, a video release. And it was among the top-selling and top-rented movies of the year.
Well, wait, was that released in DVD in 2000 or 99?
No, it was VHS. It was VHS
originally, but again,
I'm
it
asking
got
because the first DVDs that came out, a couple of movies came true because they were the first DVDs.
Netflix or Matrix was
Matrix
like one of the first DVDs.
Yeah,
million of that.
But this,
and we're gonna talk about the Matrix next month.
I remember getting this on VHS. We were at Blockbuster one time, probably partaking in something or other. And sure. We're looking for something to watch. And we'd
this
seen
is a, the movie to watch.
Well, we'd seen a bunch of the other new releases, and this was just like hiding in the corner. And they had one or two copies of it, and it was on VHS. And we're like, fuck it, let's try it. And it was, I don't know, it was just so quotable and so vigilante. And like you say, I guess comic book origin that,
right.
You know, and I'm hanging out with some of my closest friends that I've known forever. So it was just, I don't know. I do have a nostalgia for it in that way. But, yeah, this was hidden at the bottom of the not even near the new release section. God, I miss Blockbuster.
And then this is a movie that I first watched. And I'm going to go ahead and admit it because I think the Statue of Limitations has probably run out.
Oh, hey.
I watched it on Torrent as one of the first films that I downloaded via peer-to-peer file sharing at college. Because,
it's okay,
you know,
I own the video store. I had 5 copies. So, one
of them is yours. So this was, let's say, 2002, probably 2003. And, you know, obviously this was when the movie was getting a lot of like word of mouth, because that was really the only way that you would know is somebody had seen it or somebody like referenced it in their AIM profile or whatever, their away message or something.
Or MySpace, was, like you said.
Yeah, it was a quote from Boondock Saints. And I ended up getting a copy off of the like college illicit P2P file sharing and watched it. And I was like, all right, this is pretty good, you know. And I deleted it and kind of forgot about it. And then it showed up again. I think it was one of the early films to be on Netflix as well, like the streaming. So I think I watched it again around that time. And then it got a sequel in 2009, which I was kind of shocked to learn that they actually went back and made another one with the original cast and Troy Duffy.
Yeah, the first one's better.
Oh, I'm absolutely sure.
Three?
I think there's a third one planned.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
Are you saying that Redux is like busy at this point? Why would he do that now?
Well, I mean, he, you know, was shooting zombies or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I think he was well paid for that, too.
But you know who I knew the most in this? And this is like kind of sad. Sean Patrick Flannery from. Anyone?
I got
anyone?
Nothing. I got nothing.
Anyone?
I got.
No.
The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
I had,
goddess. I never saw
because
that.
He did. There were many young Indiana Jones,
Zizzes.
But he was like, yeah, Joneses. But he was like the main one who was the indie of his like late teens, early 20s.
That was on CBS or ABC or something, right?
Yeah, it was on TV, and then they did a bunch of. A series, and then they did like a bunch of TV films, so like made for TV movies. And I remember Sean Patrick Flannery as young Indy, probably one of the better.
Was it Young Indiana Jones Chronicles?
The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Son of a bitch, ABC. You're right. This would have been right in my wheelhouse. I'd have been like 12 or 13.
Yep, that's where I was.
It was in English. I could not watch it, so I've seen maybe 2 or 3 episodes.
Sure.
I was like, sure, that's Indiana Jones on the screen. He's talking some foreign language. Okay.
Yeah. So for me, it was Sean Patrick Flannery. And of course, by the time I watched Boondock Saints, Willem Dafoe had been the Green Goblin. So.
Green Goblin. That now he's like the advisor to Aquaman.
Yeah, sure. And of course, Billy Connolly in this as Il Duke. Il Duce.
Maybe it was one guy with 6 guns. Yeah. I love how Greeley keeps getting shit wrong. I mean, this.
Yep.
all that stuff is just so fun. Okay, so those are two solid theories that don't involve unusually large men.
Yep.
So good.
Cameo in this by someone who you may have talked about on Wholesome Addiction.
Yes, Ron Jeremy.
Yes.
Little Hedgehog.
Yep, there he is. He shows up. But, I mean, just a great overall cast. I think everyone has great screen chemistry, and it's fun to watch. There are bits of dialogue and some characterizations that I don't think carry over to 2019 standards.
You think?
But there's also some good stuff that is well made in there.
Yeah, I mean,
it's fun. I'm gonna use the F word.
It's sure, it's fun.
But if
it's
you
fun.
Start deconstructing it, the movie falls apart.
It's yeah, I don't think it
put
yes.
together as a Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. Well, actually got up and started walking.
It's it a did. Popcorn action flick. I mean, they make fun of other action movies. Like, oh, what are you, Charlie Bronson.
Charles Bronson.
And then he reaches in there and says, well, fucking Rambo. And he pulls out the knife. I mean, it is a joke of itself, but it is just a fucking dumb popcorn flick. It's not...
When he's shooting the guns across the room and then switches back and shoots again. Like that. Oh, it looks like we got a cowboy.
Oh, yeah. When he's like, we got all, what does he say, all the bullets from A in here? Yeah, it's so good. Just
good shooting, shitty shooting.
I don't know. For what it lacks in, you know, real filmmaking, I think it's just a fun, dumb ride. Not everything needs to have a huge freaking message.
No, and this is, again, this is a perfect late night, you know, your stoner, drunker, you know, whatever you're doing, you're in the mood for a movie like this.
Oh, you
because
need to watch this movie in Canada, let's be honest, at this point.
We got like 10 states here you can watch it in.
Because you're feeling good, you're in the mood for something that has some action, something that has some laughs. This is kind of the perfect film for that.
What's the name of the cat? Skippy.
You tell me the name of that cat, I swear to God, I will blow my brains out right.
And then he's like,
right,
and he's
here.
Like, what's the color, you druggy bitch? Oh my God. I've dated a chick like that, didn't even know her own dog.
Hey, you know? No judgment.
Heroin's
no judgment.
A hell of a drug.
No judgment. But if you enjoyed Boondock Saints, I think, you know, you benefited somewhat, so.
Yeah.
It's all good. And I think, like we said, this is a good movie to start with because I think this is one that was overlooked at the time. And we're going to do that a bit. We're going to talk about some of the big-name movies from the year, but we're also going to try to dig up some hidden gems that you might have missed.
It's a lobster thinks.
It's what I think.
No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
We'll see how that goes.
Ugh, all right, well, apparently Wing hated it, and Lobster fell kind of in the mess, so should we rate this pig, or?
I think we can.
All right, so Wing for Boondock Saints, are you going legendary?
Oh, when the Saints go marching in, oh, when the Saints go marching in, hit it, Beef.
Legend of its time.
Luck of the Irish.
Cult legend.
Keeping the Faith.
Awesome.
Kind of makes me feel like river dancing.
Entertaining.
Saints Preserve Us.
Mabel.
The 90s are killing me.
Forgettable.
Tainted Saints.
Abysmal.
99 Problems.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tinkle barf tears.
With a side of watch this space, because we don't have a Spring Breakers Highlander D&D yet. Oh, no, Highlander's not even there anymore.
I like that you keep putting it there every week.
Damn it. Sorry.
With a side of nostalgia,
keep
guilty
it up,
pleasure.
Man. It makes you look scary.
Quick thing
That's
about
a great
that.
Line. Thank you.
We were we went to a meetup for a podcast that we all used to listen to years ago, and Wing and I had a hotel room, and one of our other buddies, Sean, picked us up, and Wing threw on like the Red Hood that he got with his Red Hood DVD at the time.
And yeah, I got that at San Diego that summer for the promotion of the DVD.
Okay, so
But it's a Deadpool mask,
right,
basically.
Right as we're about to walk out of the room, Wing throws it on and he looks at, he goes, "Hey, guys," and we turn around and look at him, and Sean goes, "Keep it on, man. It makes you look scary." So
it's great.
Line is a meaningful place for us.
That too.
I need the picture. I don't believe there's a picture.
Yes, there is a picture. Let me go through it after my shit after the cast. I'll find it.
Okay. So, Wing, how rate you?
Rate me? I'm going to rate this entertaining. I had a good time. It's not the greatest movie. It's not a bad movie. It's short enough that it doesn't overstay its welcome. I had fun. That's entertaining. But I feel that last time I gave it like awesome or some shit like that.
Yeah, you're probably going down a little bit each time.
But I'm very comfortable with that entertaining. I don't think that could go to Mabel or forgettable. This is clearly not forgettable at this point. It's like I said, it's fun. So it's not Mabel. So yeah, no, it's still entertaining today. It's not great. But hey, it's Saturday afternoon. You don't know what to do. The game seems to be super boring. Watch this instead. Beef.
All right. This always makes me feel like River Dancing, but I gotta go with Keeping the Faith, at least the cult legend. Yeah, this also has to do more with nostalgia than anything for me, because I love it so much because I had good times watching it with so many of my friends. It's so quotable. If this would have come out 6 months earlier or a year earlier, before the Columbine shooting, before The Matrix, this would have been one of those movies that everyone was like, oh, this is so much fun, da-da-da-da. It's, granted, not as good of a action movie as a lot of other movies, but it's, I don't know. I think it lost a lot because of its timing. But it is most certainly a cult legend. This is after we found it on DVD. We all bought it on VHS. You shared it with all your idiot friends and their idiot friends. Yeah, solid. Solidly Keeping the Faith. Lobster?
I'm going to say it makes me feel like River Dancing because it does. I mean, it's not a great movie. It's not... I don't mean it's not a great movie. I mean, it's not like the most high-quality directing that you've ever seen. But it is, I think, for the cost associated with it, it is an awesome achievement in that it got made. Like, the fact that there's a movie that exists like the Boondock Saints that is not a cheap knockoff of Tarantino. It's, in a way, trying to do its own thing, but it's being referential. It knows it's referencing action movies. It knows that it's kind of doing a spin on stuff that you've already seen, and it owns that. And I think there's something to be said for that. The other thing that makes me happy about this movie is it's one of those rare instances in the 90s where Harvey Weinstein got fucked over like he should have been way earlier in his career. And the fact that he lost money on this movie pleases me. So it ended up getting sold off to another studio, and Miramax didn't actually make much back on it.
On the DVDs or whatever?
Yeah. So I appreciate that, and thank you, Boondock Saints, for putting the bastard where he belongs.
The editing was always so great.
Oh,
and I always forget it. I always forget that they show the scenes and then they like cut and then deconstruct it.
Yeah, it's moving a little bit like Memento. They know they don't have much, so they take what they have and they deconstruct it so to keep you in thrill, because they don't actually have thrill. So that's the whole gimmick of the thing.
Yeah, and when they break it down like that, it slows it down. I don't know. It just works. I don't know.
And this guy was a sadist. He wanted him to suffer.
All right, last word on Boondock Saints.
Boom.
Ass fuck.
Make like a tree. Get the fuck out of here. Beef, what time is it?
News time.
All right. Well, on all fronts this weekend was a bit of a letdown. Entertainment-wise, it was Super Bowl weekend.
Boo.
So the Super Bowl was boring. The commercials were kind of boring. No one went to the movies. They Shall Not Grow Old, cracked the top 10, came in at number 10 on that list. It's the lowest weekend overall at the box office since the year 2000. So we're not far off from talking about 1999. Glass won the weekend, and Miss Bala misfired. Didn't
Glass
do very well.
Won the weekend. That's bro.
Yes, with 9 million.
Right. Yep. With 10.
No,
million.
No, it didn't get to 10. It didn't crack. It didn't crack those digits, man.
It's 9.5.
9.5. Yep.
It's nuts. These Super Bowl weekend. It's a bunch of douche throwing a ball around. Come on.
Yeah, you guys. You guys are the same way with football, though. Your football.
Listen, it's no great cup. It's no great cup, but
no,
we, you know, we understand. You know, I think if there was actually a good wide release that had good coverage, I think that's why you see They Shall Not Grow Old being in the top 10 like that. A movie like that normally wouldn't, but it was the one movie that actually had good reviews.
Is that the GCVD movie?
No, that's the documentary.
They Shall Not Grow Old is the Peter Jackson World War I colorized.
Lip reading. Yeah, I would really like to see that in theaters before it's gone, but I probably missed my chance already.
No, you could definitely make it. The Annie Awards was this past week. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won Best Animated Feature and 6 other awards. This is kind of setting it up for the Best Animated Film Oscar, we think.
I mean, it needs to, right?
I'm a proponent of that.
I haven't seen it yet. So
yeah, you haven't seen it yet. That's right. The Batman will come in the summer of 2021, but it won't be Ben Affleck. It'll be some other dude.
Who didn't know that already?
I mean, I think we all kind of knew that in our heart of hearts.
Yeah, but see, we were like the first people ever to break it on our podcast. Not really, mm-hmm. but remember that wing? We rushed to put out like, oh my God, what will happen? And then... We
it's
all thought
funny,
he'd
we've
direct
been
going Batman.
Long enough to remember when they cast Ben Affleck.
Yep. Yeah. The news broke and we recorded like a 20-minute segment on it.
Do you remember when we were afraid of 2015 because all the movies were supposed to be released?
Yeah, the world was going to end.
Yeah.
And do we look back fondly on that year?
I don't know. We'll have to wait for another 14 years to find out.
I mean,
out.
The only movie I think from 2015 worth mentioning would be Mad Max Fury Road. Like, if you didn't see that in theaters, you missed out. But
yep,
anything else that year, what really?
But if you miss Mad Max in theater, you just missed out. This movie
yeah, you
was
just missed out, yeah.
made for it. It's a little bit like, and I'm not a fan, but if you haven't seen Avatar in theater...
I didn't.
Well, you really haven't seen Avatar. I'm sure
I didn't see it in 3D. I didn't see it in 3D. I saw it in theaters.
But you've seen it in theater. Yeah, that's it. That's my point. You needed to see this environment on a three-story screens to really get what he was doing. I'm not a big fan of the story, but visually, he killed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think I saw it once in the theater 3D and then once regular just to kind of...
They're saying that's the same way with Battle Angel Alita. Some people are saying even if you don't go see it in 3D... You need to see it big because it looks
cool. That
cool.
So we know someone else will be taking over as Batman, as Bruce Wayne. Lots of rumors flying around. Anything that you're seeing that you really like?
Well, everybody and their mother are testing for that part right
yes,
now.
Yes, and also James Bond. So it's kind of like two huge roles. You could either be Bruce Wayne or James Bond.
I mean,
Bond.
They're kind of the same guy, right? Dresses in darkness, always
yes.
kind of suave.
Man of mystery.
Has gadgets.
Works in the light. The other one works in the background.
It was a, but it was a, just, it, you know, dresses in, I was going to say dresses in black, but, you know, works.
Dressed as a bat, I dig it.
God, that was a good line. It's so bad that Justice League as a whole is difficult to watch, because when you pick a bunch of thriller moment... Damn,
yeah, and I would say that I am disappointed that we didn't get the Ben Affleck Batman movie. Mm-hmm. I think there was something there after we did Batman Begins and we saw the Batman arc origin to retirement, I guess is what that gave us. I kind of wanted the old grizzled Batman who knows he should give it up but won't. And I kind of think like if they had gone ahead and been like, you know what, we know that this isn't really going to work long term, but we're going to do this one thing to make this point, I think that would have been okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, Batman, right? People would have seen it.
Yeah, and it's weird because there's some kind of Batman which, you know, he's called a detective. We haven't seen that yet. There's a lot of talk about that. That's
supposedly what they're focusing on, right? No?
Yes. Yeah. Let's make a boring Batman movie where he just solves crime instead of flying around in supercars and jumping off of buildings and stuff.
Right now is that everybody wants a Marvel movie. And
I would say the detective part of, let's say, the best of the Batman movies, The Dark Knight, when he flies off to Hong Kong and actually does detective work, that's the part that people like are bored with and say shouldn't be in the movie.
No, there's other parts where he does this detective work where like he shoots the bullet to understand how they breaks and all that stuff. They have other part. I agree that you should not go out of Gotham just to say that you're getting out of Gotham. That was something they were trying to do at that
point. Like, don't put him in a hole in the desert for like most of the movie.
Yeah, that didn't work. But if you get other facet of Batman, that would be interesting. But right now there's so, and that's what Nolan did at first. He gave us something we didn't know we wanted when we saw Batman Begins.
So yeah, when he went out and was a street fighter and like learned his own shit, stole from himself. It was cool to see that.
Still my favorite of those three movies.
They're all good in some ways. So.
Did you hear the rumor that they're supposedly voice casting or looking to voice cast a young Asian American to play Terry McGillis for a Batman Beyond animated movie in the vein a la Spider-Verse because it's doing so well?
It's been debunked by Warner like the next day.
It was what?
Debunked by Warner the next day.
They said, shit, we need to actually say we're not doing that so we can go ahead and actually do the thing and do it. James Gunn in talks to actually direct Suicide Squad sequel.
Nice. That could be fun.
Also in the rumor mill is he was offered to do a Superman movie, and he turned it down.
The rumor mill, everybody's talking about a Superman movie. He was offered the book.
What do you mean the book? Oh, yeah.
He was offered the DC book and said pick, and his first pick was to do a crypto movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, A Superman
Crypto the
movie.
Superdog.
Oh.
Which they're doing as a cartoon right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you, okay, say it was like, I don't have a good analogy, but this dude basically leaves, you'd give him the keys to the kingdom. What you
would,
want to do.
Yeah. And
but I like that James Gunn knows himself enough to be like, that, I can do that better than anyone, and right now I need to prove that I can do that these thing better than
anyone. I don't think so. There's also lots of Twitter threads out there where basically everyone says if Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is going to happen, it needs to be James Gunn, and you now have people turning down the gig because they believe so strongly that it's James Gunn's. I think they're going to have a very hard time having someone step into that role because they all believe that it's his.
They have his script. They're going to get a run hour somewhere or something like
Taika
that.
Taika Waititi.
No, he said no.
He already said no.
God damn it.
So they're going to get someone that's good enough to emulate the style and work off the script of James Gunn and with the same actors.
And disappoint all of us, and then we'll just move on.
If you ask me, the first one was good, the second one was eh. So at this point, it might just be going down.
Come on. The film that gave us Taserface? No, I'm not going to have this argument right now. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Super Bowl teasers introduce Pale Lady, Big Toe, Jangly Man, and Red Spot. Okay, so there's not much there. It's an anthology movie, I guess. Guillermo del Toro. I'm hearing very, very good things about this. So I want to give it the chance to be something.
I'd give it a chance, but... Excuse me. I don't know where.
There wasn't much in the teasers, I don't think, to win me over. It was basically a lot of people running down a hallway getting chased by something.
I was also a fan of the Are You Afraid of the Dark Nickelodeon show because I was a kid of the 80s. So this might be something that I take my nieces and nephews to go see hide behind the popcorn myself.
And then, so we talked about Netflix doing a Super Bowl
Cloverfield
stunt.
Paradox.
Turned out it was Amazon who actually pulled the stunt.
Well,
they did. They gave us Hannah, episode one of the upcoming series, for 24 hours, and I watched it.
So
did you?
So did I. Wing?
Okay, so...
Which one?
Hannah.
I'm sorry.
Anna. No, I didn't.
You remember the movie Hannah a few years ago? I thought this was a really good show. The pilot gave me everything I wanted more, and I was hooked right at the very end.
Okay.
I'm waiting for March now.
It's a reunion between Joel Kinnaman and I don't know how to say her name, but she was also in The Killing. Joel Kinnaman from RoboCop and The Killing and Altered Carbon.
Altered Carbon, yep.
Yeah, all things I didn't watch or didn't like.
Also, Suicide Squad 1, I forgot.
Yep.
Rick Flag.
But, don't forget that for me, Jack, you got that as a Super Bowl ad or something? I didn't even know that thing existed before you put it there.
Yeah. Well, it was a thing that happened. You could only watch it for 24 hours. And I thought, what the hey? If they're going to do this, I will watch this one episode. And it was good. I mean, it really, I thought, set the tone for what the series is going to be. Obviously, I've seen the movie, so I was kind of comparing it to that in my head. And I saw where the differences were, and I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always down for another free thing that I already pay for, so...
Sure. Woo-hoo. More things to watch on the thing that you have.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that you might not have, CBS All Access released their first teaser. Again, this is Super Bowl related, so if you watched it in Canada, it may have made no sense, but it's Jordan Peele's The Twilight Zone.
I'm ready.
If I click on it and tells me I can't watch it here anyway, so I didn't see it.
I see.
Yeah. Just a trailer for the Twilight Zone, so it looks good.
Won't it be on Netflix there anyway?
Probably.
Yeah.
But I'm at the point that Netflix.
I realized something when I watched it, which is how many credit card commercials have been inspired by the Twilight Zone, where it's just a guy kind of talking at you about what dimension are we in? Can you use your rewards points for frequent flyer miles?
Yeah. Is this Ford as good as the Chevy?
So I was like, is this a credit card commercial? And then I was like, oh no, it's the Twilight Zone. But for a long time, I was like, this just sounds like a credit card commercial. Sorry, guys. I will wait and see. So,
What we do in the Shadows trailer, I was so confused. This is now a series, right?
Yes, I'm so excited about this.
Again, like Hannah, this is a movie that is now becoming a TV show.
Okay, I'm in.
And I am in so hard that I want to rewatch the movie with you guys to coincide with the premiere of the show. Are you guys into that?
Sure, I've seen that maybe just before Thor.
Okay.
I'm down because I've never seen it.
Have you seen it? Okay, good. Okay. This is normally something that we might save to like Halloween, but I think we've got a good we already have a good Halloween slate planned out, so let's put it in and do it to coincide.
Yeah,
because
I'd
be fun.
I want to try to get my girlfriend to watch the show, so I'm gonna be like, right. Hey, check
okay,
this
good.
Out.
Yeah,
let's watch this movie.
Great though. It is.
The
it
show
is, yeah.
looks good
and
though,
and it is on one of the things you pay for. I can tell you that. So
I can tell you that. I can't tell you which one. It's gonna change in 2 months.
Yeah. Alita Battle Angel, again, we've talked about this a lot. We're probably all going to see it. We're probably going to talk about it on the show.
Captain Marvel,
looking very good.
I'm excited for that.
They need to stop giving me new material at this point because for some reason, more to give me, the less excited I get.
For what? Captain Marvel?
I'm so excited for Captain Marvel right now. Yeah, it looks like a Marvel Top Gun in space.
That's all you needed to say. I will take that elevator pitch. I'm in.
It's Marvel
I'm in.
Top Gun in space with a chick,
yep.
Man.
Sold. All right, you know what seems really, really sad? Avengers Endgame.
Oh, my
you guys.
God. It's like the leftovers.
It is.
My favorite ad campaign we have in a while. These two piece of trailer that we got in the last month and a half are so freaking depressing. We see nothing, and people are excited like they have their first baby.
Everybody dead. It's going to be great.
Beautifully desolate is what I'd say.
Yeah.
The next one, I don't know how to feel.
This is the future of the franchise.
This is The Odd Couple, James Bond, Mission Impossible. I'm in. Hobbs and Shaw. I'm sorry. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. Calvin and Hobbs.
They have to do the Star Wars story bullshit because they want to sell a Fast and a Furious movie.
Yeah. But this is Mission Impossible. It even has the girl who was in the last Mission Impossible as like the accessory person. And that's great. I think it's awesome.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. But, and it's got Idris Elba. So I'm really okay with it. But
I would say that the most telling thing here is that it didn't get its own YouTube channel release the trailer. It was released on The Rock's YouTube channel.
Of course it was.
And I think because who has the most followers?
The Rock in the world.
Subscribers, whatever. Yeah, exactly. So that's how you're going to pump this movie. And people will turn out and see it. Skyscraper, Rampage.
Oh, my God.
Jumanji proves that point. So people will go see this. It has Fast and Furious in the name, so they know it's the guy. I've already saved the world four times, or this will be the fourth time.
See, and some of that seems fun. I just, again,
I'm an ice cold, I'm what you'd call an ice cold can of whoop ass.
I don't want what's his face. I mean, he's bulletproof and super strong. He's a
right.
No.
What's your problem with this? I don't understand.
Weren't they supposed to be in the real world, just bad physics?
No, they've never been in the
I guess I haven't seen the last few. I haven't seen the last couple.
When cars started to be cushions when you fall out of buildings, everything went out the window. When The Rock flexed to break this cast, we were in a superhero movie.
Yes,
at
true.
At some point, if I remember correctly,
yes.
In you're right.
Seven, you have actually Vin Diesel doing a Hulk smash on the floor to crack the top of a building.
Yes.
Stop it.
No,
all
I'm not joking.
All of these things. All of these things and more.
Quite often. I know. But why I love these stupid movies? Because they're superhero flicks since number five.
I'm what you'd call a champagne problem.
That was pretty cool. Okay. God damn it.
We should pick up the ones that we haven't watched yet for the cast.
I don't know where we left off. I think the last one I saw, it must have been for the cast, was when they were jumping from a building and building in Dubai or whatever.
But that was seven.
That would have been,
you only missed one.
I think that was six.
No, the building from building in Dubai is the last one from...
No, that's eight.
No,
Fate of the Furious.
Fate of the Furious, the one with the kid, so he was already dead.
Oh. No, that's eight, seven, six, five. Five, six, seven, eight. Fuck.
What are you... you know why to count? I'm just saying that we love the fast on this fast.
We lost
seven.
Count. We lost count.
We lost count.
We have lost count. We don't know which ones we've seen. We don't know which one has which set piece. It's fine. They're all good.
They're all soap opera-y, stupid.
Yeah.
Kind of good. But I'm more excited for this than for Fast 9. I think the Fast and Furious formula is starting to be long in the tooth. Fast 8 was kind of... Bleh.
If you showed me the trailer for this and said Mission Impossible, now I've also lost count, 7, 8?
6.
And said Mission Impossible 8, I would have been like, yeah, okay, all right, that's the thing that they do. It all makes sense. And they're now becoming basically interchangeable. And correct me if I'm wrong, it's Universal that has both, right?
Yep.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And let's face it, the Fast and Furious franchise, for a franchise that was dying by its third movie, is one of the most...
Mission Impossible!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That these are the kind of franchise that you can wait 10 years, bank on a little bit of nostalgia, and some very good action directors. Not great directors.
True.
Action directors. Yeah. If you're able to bring this and bring just enough nostalgia in there, like bring back Vin Diesel all of a sudden and then put a little bit of The Rock in it, you're able to build something these days. The Mission Impossible, as you said, for me.
We also think there's an all-female or a female-led Fast and Furious coming at some point.
Yeah, they say they want Gal Gadot, and I'm like, she's so dead. Oh, yeah, characters come back to life. And
yeah, absolutely. All right. All right. That's a trailer dump for sure.
Flush it. Oh, and it was a crappy Super Bowl, too. Next time, Legends Podcast, The Limey.
Yeah, we're going to stick with our theme of overlooked movies featuring action and accents.
I like all those, so, you know.
I'll tease that this is one of the movies that made me love editing when I was in the 90s.
Oh, now you just remember the hook.
Oh, no, you're going to look for good editing.
You
ruined this movie.
Man.
If there's one thing I hate above, you know, a good soundtrack and good casting and good dialogue, it's definitely good editing.
It's when Wing reminds me about it. Ugh. This has been episode 409 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, way to ruin the Limey for me, Wing.
I'm John D saying, since when saying the editing is good? Spoiler move.
God.
Oh, Memento.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Thanks.
And I'm John O. Lobster saying, this has been episode 409. Erin go bra.
I don't know what you just said.
I think it was Irish something or other. Gaelic? William Dafoe was pretty Gaelic in this movie.
I thought he was Bilek. I mean,
that's true. We don't know.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or Kraken Cast. No infringement is intended.